Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to start with our scripture reading. We'll pick up where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, read by Alexander Scorby. John, chapter 12.
Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord! And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, An angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight? Let me open up the queue, by the way. Hang on a second. All right, the queue is open if anybody wants to get in. If you're on a phone, it's a star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue. If you're on an app or a browser, should be a button. Okay, Jen.
Yes, we do have a number of questions. Some of them are long. I'm trying to figure out how to paraphrase them and make them shorter so you can answer them. To start, there's so many tonight that they're just, first one is, I have a couple of questions about your irrevocable trust. One, do we have to file any documents with our county for the irrevocable trust for our auto repair business? Two, how do the business taxes works for the irrevocable trust? Three, can we open a banking account with the irrevocable or only the revocable? Can we open a bank account? If we have the revocable trust, do we need to apply for an EIN, and does that mean we need to pay federal taxes for the business?
Well, you do have to get an EIN number to get a bank open, bank account open. It's an impossibility to get a bank account open if you're coming in with a trust or a business, some kind of a corporation, any kind of an entity. They want an EIN number. Obviously, people use Social Security numbers for themselves, but for some entity, you have to have an EIN number. I don't know how that's going to change, if it needs to change much, being that the IRS is going to be done away with shortly. You know, everything is in process at this point. But this should be the last year that people should be needing to deal with taxes, if at all this year. So I'm not even sure about that, to tell you the truth on that. But you got to remember, an irrevocable trust, the trust has a beneficiary. And so a trust is on behalf of someone else. So I don't know how you would do anything with some kind of a business like an auto repair business to create a trust. I don't know how that would work at all, to be honest with you, because a business is a business. A trust is a trust. Again, it's a beneficiary. And the beneficiary, the individual who benefits from that, is a secret. It's nobody's business on who the trust is for. And that should always be kept secret. And that prevents anyone from trying to file any kind of a lawsuit or any kind of a lien against an individual because they're the focus or the beneficiary of a trust. So, anyway, I guess that's all I can say about that.
Okay, this next question I didn't totally understand. It had a title, Dealing with Mortgage from Hard Money. And the text said, I can pay them off, but at the last minute they added like $40,000 on each of the loans, making it impossible to pay them off. I have three mortgages, such a criminal enterprise. Where could I go to see if someone would act on it ASAP? They should be arrested, violating my rights to keep my income. Any ideas I could call someone to prosecute them? That would get their attention. Thoughts?
Now, these are mortgage foreclosures, he said, right? Then it sounds like you had three of them that were being foreclosed all at the same time, sounded like?
It does not say, but I assume so.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what hard money means. I don't know if you have any idea. But
cash, I guess.
Okay, cash. Well, first of all, if you wanted to pay the mortgage off, I guess it sounds like is they're hitting up for additional $40,000. For what purpose? I mean, you know, I don't understand that either. So I don't think we have enough information. You know, first of all, the mortgage, in order to foreclose on a mortgage, that's an unlawful act. That's why in many states they did these non-judicial foreclosures. Many states don't have non-judicial foreclosures. Even though they don't have non-judicial foreclosures, they still go through the process with a non-judicial foreclosure. And a non-judicial foreclosure really ultimately is saying that they can close on you without the court. But they do it's sort of a facade. You know, they use the court to participate, and they do participate. They do the same thing with tax foreclosures. They participate, and it has the appearance of a court session. And you go to court, you know, and they keep taking you to court. You go in every month or whatever, and it just goes on and on and on. As much as you resist, you can kind of, hold it back for a while before they actually make the changeover. It does take time. I'm not sure how much time, but I know there's been people who have fought it and keep going back and forth for years. You know, 4 or 5 years, and they're still going back and forth to the courts. And it's sort of shaky grounds for the courts to actually make that final decision, which they're not really making a final decision because it's not really filed. Again, it may appear there on the dockets, but I don't think for the long run at some point it doesn't ultimately get filed because, again, it's called a non-judicial foreclosure. Now, we've written papers on this. It should be available to challenge that non-judicial foreclosure. Let's see, if you go into Education Starts, you come down to law. I'm pretty sure we do have something there. I know we covered it in our course, but I think we did also cover it here on court forms and process. So let's just take a quick look. Let's see, land patent, quo warranto, notice and demands, common law trust information, forms for traffic court, challenging jurisdiction, move the case for cause, instructions to form habeas corpus, then the enforcement, notice and demand, some downloads. I don't see anything in here. I guess we never posted anything up here for that. We do have it in our course, though. But again, a non-judicial foreclosure, you know, you could file in the court and show that it's unlawful. And you can get that paperwork if you join our course. So I guess that's all I can really say on that. But I don't understand the specifics on that $40,000 what exactly are they calling that? So, you know, if you have a mortgage and you owe so much left on the mortgage and you're willing to pay it, and then they tap $40,000 on it, I don't understand. There has to be some kind of an explanation on that.
Right. And that's all that I had. Okay, next question is an easy one, John. Would NLA have a speaker for a Constitution Party national meeting in Manchester, New Hampshire, on Saturday, April 26th, 2025?
Well, we don't, I don't know if we have anybody up there in that area that could go and would be able to speak. I mean, I could probably do something over the internet, you know, through, you know, one of the many, many programs that could be used in order to have a conversation. So, I mean, that'd be about it that I know of. And I don't know, what is the event? What are they doing there?
Constitution Party National Meeting in Manchester, New Hampshire. Normally those are in person, I think, John.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And, you know, that's something I don't know that I'd want to speak at because, you know, I'm anti-parties. So we have to get rid of parties. Party is the problem. And so if I were to speak at one, it would be anti. So it wouldn't be very good for what they would be expecting. So, but anyway, next question. The other?
We'll move to the next one. And this is a long one, and I abbreviated it, and it's still long. What do I do with courts who have denied us justice, failing to prosecute my twin and my pedophile, kidnappers and rapists who kidnapped us and possibly sold us for gang rapist children at 2.5 years old? And these courts have been notified to return to courts of common law and courts of record and have refused, but are continuing to target me to keep me in town to serve for jury duty in their corrupt state corporate courts. And then there's a half a page of how they sent her a notice for jury duty, and if she didn't respond, you know, it was a violation of law, and she would be subject to penalties and so on.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And then just a few Mondays ago, the magistrate court admitted / said to me that they had no jurisdiction over my land, property, and so forth, and dismissed my other court case without granting any relief as well. How is it lawful for them to continue to railroad me into unwilling service to their corporation when they have shown their court to be unjust and they have ignored and destroyed legal documents served on them in regards to the actions of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury? Forced servitude / slavery to their will is anathema and abhorrent to me. Not to mention that this corporation doesn't even pay minimum wage. The court pays $12 an hour, as authorized by the Supreme Court. I do not feel that serving a court that is unfair, unjust, dishonest, and corrupt is an honorable duty. I feel utterly betrayed. I feel they are doing this to cause me to utterly collapse or are intent to try to push me to commit suicide, as has seemingly been their goal, the goal of the corrupt community who gang stalks me and people, while they have covered up crimes for years. Please help.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, I would take the opportunity, if they were to call, to go sit on a jury, whether it be a trial jury or the grand jury. You probably won't get through. I know I wouldn't get through it. They wouldn't want me, because they do go through a series of questions. And you know, if you can get through it without, if they don't ask the right questions, in other words, your understanding of common law, your understanding of the right of the jury to, you know, decide all things, the law, they can decide that the law is not lawful. So, that, in other words, jury nullification. If no questions come up that would bar those things, you know, as far as you being able to respond to it honestly, because if you respond honestly to the questions, they're not going to want you to go, because if you just really respond from the common law perspective. But if they don't ask the right questions and you get through, you have an opportunity there to kind of alter the mind and the focus and the direction of a jury. If indeed the individual that is on trial is, actually innocent, railroaded. So there is an opportunity there. But nevertheless, you get back to the legitimacy of the court. And all the court systems for the past, goodness, I'm not even sure how many years, we know 1938 is when the rules came into play. And I would imagine, but that went through the federal courts, and then it trickled down to all of the state courts and so on. And so they're all chancery courts, and they're running under the rules which are of civil law, which they make up on their own. Some of it defies common law, and so all of that is unlawful. And there is a major problem, because if we do get back, of course we're fighting to get back to common law and get all our courts back to under the law, there's a major problem there, because everyone they've jailed ever since going back to 1938, and again, it took a while for it to acclimate throughout the whole country, some courts may still have been lawful for a while, although, the corruption had been going back into the colonies. So a lot of the courts, they had the chancery courts that entered in 1750, all of the bar attorneys that came in from the English bar in order to destroy our justice system, because the colonies were a problem to the king. And then, of course, by the time, the Constitution came around and the Bill of Rights, we still had a lot of courts that were already problematic, and they're still with us today. Pennsylvania, for instance, has no problems calling the courts chancery courts and their judges chancellors. I mean, it's an abomination to the law. So again, that's all a major problem. So I guess you have to figure out how you're going to deal with it. I've heard people say that you can get arrested if you don't respond, that there's some kind of penalty to pay. But I've never heard of that happening, and I've never seen a court, threaten somebody with some kind of a problem, a situation, a penalty of some type, if you don't respond. So I've never heard that before from the court. So it's an interesting thing. I don't know. Again, if you really don't want to deal with them, if you go in and tell the truth, and you should tell the truth anyway, they're not going to accept you in the court anyway. You're going to just not going to get called back after they do your interview with you. All right. I guess that's about it on that. Anything else, Jen?
Yes, we have one that was brought up last week. And there's two more pages explaining what was in the case. I'll try and summarize it for you. This fellow and his fiancée, who was pregnant, were at a friend. She started having mild contractions. They decided to go home on the ride. She gave birth to the baby in the front seat. They went back to the friends, called, and AMA, California Highway Patrol, Fire Department, all came to the scene. The paramedics took the mother and baby, and they went to the hospital. At the hospital, the nurses took the baby right away, and that really freaked the guy out, and he wondered what they were doing, and they said that the baby needed emergency services. And that's what they were doing. And he kept asking questions, so they ended up calling the sheriff, telling him that he was preventing care to his son, and that they would like to press charges for trespassing if he didn't leave. And he told him no, he wasn't leaving his son's side, so the sheriff took him outside, and in the process of holding him, not necessarily arresting him, but not letting him go, they searched him, and they found drugs on him. And so he was charged with trespassing, child endangerment, possession of a controlled substance, and possession of paraphernalia. And the case went to court, and he was not properly represented, which is not surprising. And the jury came back with guilty verdicts on all four charges. Now, the first question he has, you answered last week. The second one is, I know I need to file a writ of error. Do I file that in both appeal court and original court? You want me to go off? There's three or two more. Do you want me to read all three and then... Did I lose you, John? Am I off the air?
No, I was just muted. I didn't realize it. Okay, so one was a potentially stinking. What's the next?
Okay, do I file a writ of error first before sending my demand and notice of collateral attack? If they don't justly do the right thing and cease and desist and dismiss the case, is a writ of error necessary? Do I need to file a notice and demand first, or can I just file the collateral attack?
Okay, well, none of those things would really work. Writ of error, even that. You see, the problem is they took you before a jury, so they think that they have a proper prosecution. Did they say what the penalty was? Jail, how long, what?
I didn't get the penalty. Just he was found guilty on all four charges.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, look, juries are stacked. They control the juries because people are easy to control, really, especially when they go before some place that they see as an authority. And when that authority, something that they see as authority, say, this is the way things work and this is what you have to do under this situation, that situation. For instance, they put these charges upon you and you're battling charges that are fixed in place. They don't have to prove ultimately a lot other than using the charges. And again, these charges are, a lot of them are of course, problematic. Herein is the purpose and what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. This is why people should be supporting us and really helping us to do what we have to do. We have a lot more work to do, but it's not going to get done unless we have funding. I'm going to be filing some papers, hopefully this week, up with President Trump and maybe with his new attorney general. I'm not sure exactly on that. There's some things we have to bring to his attention, and so we're going to continue to do that. But there's a lot more we can do, but we can't do because it gets too expensive, and again, we just don't have the funding to do it. But we have to get our federal courts back, and that is what we're really pursuing. I do believe that we're going to get our courts back. I don't know what kind of a priority it is with Trump or that, although I've seen some things that have given me some, really great hope that he understands what we're talking about. The common law gives us a lot of liberty, and from the frame of mind of America today, where we're at, and how things have been so distorted. From people's perspective, especially lawyers, but in the court system and, of course, the government, it's too much freedom. It's just way too free. We can't have that. Common law requires it, and what common law requires, they're really frightened of. So it becomes problematic, and it also doesn't work with your mind, the mindset that Americans have. This has been going on for 70-plus years, 80 years, and people aren't used to or really of what liberty is. I've spoken to people and talked about the traffic courts, and they think, oh, that's totally insane. No, the traffic courts have to be there and they have to stop this and you can't do that and so on and so forth. So the mindset of the people, we've enslaved ourselves because people refuse to get educated. It's just way too much work, but Jefferson said, and many others, and there's no doubt about it from my perspective, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was, and it's never, ever, ever going to be. And if you're not going to fight for your liberty, then you don't deserve your liberty. So we really have to work together to take these federal courts back. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. That is, in my opinion, the largest and the biggest thing that National Liberty Alliance is working on by formulating the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So we have to take our courts back. If we don't take our courts back, it doesn't matter what Trump is doing. It looks all good, and he's doing a lot of great work, and we'll only be back here again. It's only going to be a matter of time. Our children will have to deal with it later on as time goes on, because if you don't fill the void that's being created here and bringing back the courts of justice, it's just going to be back again. Because tyrants are tyrants, there's always these people that want to control everybody. I don't know if many people are listening. There was a good report recently on, and you know, and let me see if I can find this real quick. And now we know, you know, and we know. Okay, this one here particularly, Dr. Elliott, I think this is the one. If this isn't the one, then it's the more newer one, which is 9 hours ago. But I think this was the one that was up yesterday, I listened to today. And they talked exactly about what we're talking about right now. Even though everything that's going on, you still have these elitists that are out there talking on how we have to control the people, on how they want to use AI and videotaping and more cameras and controlling everything. That conversation is still going on. And if a conversation like that continues, where you've got cameras everywhere, and then they can arrest you, send you a tickets, and do all, and they're already doing that on tickets. You know, you drive down the road, you pass a camera, and then they mail you a ticket. You know, and this kind of stuff goes on and on. Big Brother is still here; he hasn't left. And until we win our courts back, there's a great threat out there against us. And we have to fix that threat. And it starts in the federal courts, because the purpose of the federal court is to champion the Constitution. Let me repeat that. The purpose of the federal court is to champion the Constitution. Now, they have two jobs. They have a job in equity, which deals with legislative law, which is applied upon the individuals that are working in commercial activities, legal or illegal, okay? And people who are working in government agencies, and that's what the equity courts are for. And then, of course, they got that process, you know, the appeal court and so on. You could take it up to the United States Supreme Court, and they hear certain cases, so on and so forth. But generally, it's in equity. When it comes to law, it's a whole different ballgame, and people don't realize this, and it's important to realize this. Law. If you have a situation which becomes a criminal case inside of an equity case, then it must move over to a court of law. That has to take precedence. And that means the judges are out of this and the people are in on this. That's where the jury comes in. In most equity courts, of course, there is no real jury because, again, it's codes. Everything is fixed in codes and U.S. codes and regulations, statutes, whatever the case may be. But when it comes into, again, the criminal thing, it has to move into a court of law. And that's where the jury comes in. And there are no summary judgments in a court of law. A summary judgment is where a judge comes in and makes decisions on the case. Well, we're not going to allow this evidence in. This evidence we're not going to permit here. And they'll make decisions along the way. That's not permitted in a court of law. It's the people who hear everything. Whatever evidence you want to bring up, they hear everything, and they make the final decision. They get to judge the law. Any statutes or regulations that are applied upon these people in that court of law, which they were under, they had a contract and they're under, you know, and it could be used in a court of law. But the power of the people is the power of nullification. The people could decide, that's a crazy law, I don't like that. That's a crazy, you know, statute, code, or whatever. Or it doesn't apply to this case, or it shouldn't apply to this, whatever the people want. And the final decision of the people can't even be changed by the United States Supreme Court. And yet local judges will make decisions on that, and they'll nullify the jury rule. They'll say, you know, the jury decision. And, you know, they'll have juries that are stagnant, they can't move on, and they'll say, well, okay, then they have to go through the whole process again, or whatever the case may be. So again, these summary judgments that these judges make are unlawful in a court of law. So the Supreme Court, their purpose, again, is to deal with equity and then champion the Constitution. When someone comes up and they're right, that's why if you read the Constitution, it talks about what they're able to hear and listen to. And so if they violate your unalienable right, for instance, with the one that they get the most, or that most is violated, is the right of due process, any court that is not a court of law is not a court of due process. That's why traffic courts cannot give you due process. County courts, again, they listen to both kinds of things, you know. I mean, it's kind of strange. I've heard of different states where you go to a county court and they're dealing with traffic court, so, you know. But generally, I know here in New York particularly, you know, traffic court, you know, you might find that in the city court, but they have a section called the traffic court in the city court, for instance, over in Poughkeepsie, which is a B city here in New York. But your village courts, your town courts, those are the courts particularly that deal with your traffic courts. At least that's what it is in New York. And they can't give you due process. Any kind of an equity court cannot give you due process. Anytime you're in a court and there is a statute applied upon you, they can't give you due process. Because statutes being applied upon an individual in itself denies due process. Okay? So, again, these courts we have to win back. If we don't win our federal courts back, we'll win no courts back. And once we win the federal courts back, it's still going to take some time to win the courts, you know, that are the lower courts, the state courts, the county courts, the city courts, the village courts, and so on. A lot of these courts will be shut down because they won't have the income once the law is applied down there, because their survival is totally dependent upon them, you know, charging you with particular violations and collecting a fine, all these code violations. That's how they survive. And that's how they're able to have a police force. So a lot of that would just kind of disappear. Of course, the you know, towns and cities could afford something with a police force, but it wouldn't be very much. Really, we should really push forward more towards pushing us towards the sheriff's department. But even the sheriff's department, they have no clue on what the law is. They violate the people's law all day long because they're ignorant to the law. They're told by bar attorneys what the law is, and they believe that, just like the people that go to court. They believe all these things. And when, you know, reality is the way one perceives it. If you perceive that this is the real thing, then you'll willingly pay the fine, and you'll willingly go to jail, and you won't make the argument. I mean, again, you know, if I was fined in a court and couldn't get out of it, I'd pay the fine, but I'd still fight it. Okay, you pay the fine so you don't go to jail, because they'll put you in jail or they'll take your license away if it's a traffic court, and so on and so forth. These people are out of control. But you know, the truth of the matter and the fact of the matter is, we're going to be as free as we allow ourselves to be. And you know, you want to be free, you have to have an education in what it is to be free. You have to have knowledge, and then you have to exercise that knowledge. You have to stand up on it. You have to support it. So again, the battle is not won, and all things that Trump is doing, great stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, If we don't fix our courts, it all amounts to hill of beans, and that's about it for me, that I think. Because, again, we may enjoy a lot of stuff to some degree, but every time you go into court, it's the same thing. I'm in the middle of helping someone to do a habeas corpus, okay? And I don't believe it's going to work. We're doing all the right things. They've already violated it. They violated the individual. They put the individual in jail without a real true authority. And they're going through all these exercises of things, unlimited time. There's no release date for this guy, and so his due process was totally denied. They defaulted on the habeas corpus, so I just worked out the papers tonight and sent them out to be filed for tomorrow. And if they were going to obey the law, he'd be released tomorrow. And I don't have a lot of faith that that's going to happen, because they don't care about the law. Nobody controls them. Nobody disciplines them. And the people are ignorant to this. And therein is another reason why the committees of safety are so important, because you get knowledge, you get people, you can work with the sheriff, and the sheriff will help to fix the problem. You got to get the sheriff on board, but you got to free him too, or her. You got to free their mind, because they're as incarcerated in this statutory prison as much as you are. We are governed by all these statutes, and people don't even realize until they get into the courts how much that they really have lost of their liberties, because they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about your rights. All they're looking at is their money. That's what this is all about. It's always and it'll always be about money and power and authority over you. And until the people wise up and do something, it's just going to continue on. But here at National Liberty Alliance, the battle goes on. And all the people we hear about with these kind of stories, you know, hopefully they, you know, even though they're going to lose and they're going to go to jail, maybe they'll get out, maybe they get fined, they lose their homes. But that just shouldn't give up on winning, trying to win the battle. We got to fight, 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 just like Trump said. We have to fight for the courts. And we're going to get hardcore, really hardcore on Trump, because he can't betray us on this one point. We have to somehow make him understand what common law really is. I don't know that he understands. You know, I think someone mentioned to me, you know, talk to his son. We did send a paper, some copies to the last papers we sent to his son. And maybe that is the way to get to him, because we hear Trump talking about his son. Yeah, my son came to me, he said this, that, and the other thing, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at him, you know, and he's doing things. So, you know, his son maybe has that open mind. He's still young, too. And if we can get him properly educated, maybe he'll put enough pressure on his father. But we're dealing with about 30 or 40 people together, you know, that we've been copying different paperwork on. And all we look is that for that one weak link, and a weak link meaning that they're not very strong on the civil law, or they don't even know anything about it. Because it takes, you know, in order to liberate the mind, you have to have someone who hasn't been poisoned so much that they can't see enough to be able to be, liberated. And that's hard to find, especially in people in power, and a lot of in political powers particularly, because they're around the law all the time. And they believe the law is the law, especially the lawyers. After all, they spent $250,000 to go to school. I mean, their attitude is, you can't tell me that's not the law. I know what the law is. They're so closed-minded and poisoned with all this poison. So anyway, only the people can save America, and we have to get enough people to do this. But we can win the courts back, the federal courts. If we win the federal courts, it's a slam dunk all the way down line, because what that person should do that just spoke, you know, spoke for in that communications, that email, what they need to do is move this into federal court for cause. It's a tough case to fight because there was a jury involved with it, okay? So if you don't have the knowledge and the understanding of the common law, and again, that's what our course is all about, and that's what a lot of our education throughout our whole website is all about. If you don't have that knowledge, you're not going to be able to write a good paper that you might be able to convince, up there on the Supreme Court. But that's what he has to do, is take it into federal court for cause, but it's going to be a hard paper to write for someone who has no knowledge. They're not going to be able to write it. And that's why everybody should get to know the law. That's why we should teach our children the law while they're in school. Every child, by the time they get out of 12th grade, they should have a full college-level education. You know, 12 years of schooling, why shouldn't they have what is called, what we understand or appreciate as a college education? We should be highly educated by that point in time. We should be highly educated in civics, in the court process, how the judicial process works, what is our unalienable rights, and what is the law, and what's the difference between law and equity. And how do we write a good paper? And how, you know, all these things are a necessity for survival in any society, particularly a free society, quote unquote. You know, we think we're free. We're not as free as we think we are. So, but anyway, that person, the only thing I could say is you got to go into, none of that will work, but he mentioned a writ of error, they're not going to look at that. And you have to really write a good writ of error. A writ of error is good when you know you're going to be taking it up the line. So writing a writ of error might be a good thing to do, but you better write a good one, and you have to understand what you have to cover in that, and you have to focus in on your due process and the illegalities of how they're operating. So you have to put all that together. As far as the notice and demand, that's irrelevant in the courts. It has nothing to do. The notice and demand is prior to a court case, and should have some clout in a court case if you've filed that notice and demand, to be able to take that into the court and then turn around and really apply that in the court as a default. Okay, but they won't even see or hear that. I don't know whether they're capable of hearing this, because they're so lost in the poison that has been put in their minds. The other thing is taking the education of our children back. I was thinking of trying to make contact with Trump and make a conversation with him, through a letter, and that we would like to take on the responsibility of putting together a good curriculum for the common law to be taught in schools. It's a big job, though, to do. Unless we get funding, I could not do this. We'd have to write books. We'd have to pull other people together. I talked with Brent Allen Winters about this a while back, and he was willing to work with me to create the necessary curriculums. And there's other individuals that I would approach and work together with to get a serious curriculum, a real, not pablum, okay? The real power of the law, because it's not taught anywhere. I haven't seen it taught anywhere other than here at National Liberty Alliance. So these things have to be done. But this person, in order to deal with this, a writ of error could be good. It has to be properly written, has to lay everything out, just as a stepping stone for moving it into the denial of due process in the federal court to look for them to support you, because you got to prove that you didn't have due process. And it appears as if you had due process. It's got the appearance. But you have to kind of shave things away and bring them down into the foundation and hope that they their mind isn't that poisoned enough that at least they'll consider it and potentially go along with the truth, what needs to be done. But due process is the key. If we don't win the due process back in the federal courts, we've lost everything. Because what are we all about? We're about liberty. We're about the Bill of Rights is what we are about. And the Constitution is the limitation of powers. And they've gone far beyond that. That's the other problem. I don't know. I think Trump may know about this because he's talking about getting rid of a lot of different agencies. Matter of fact, I was thinking of trying to get a hold of GR. Eric, maybe we should get a hold of GR for this. We have to get a list of all of the federal agencies that have no constitutional authority. And I think GR has done enough research in that area. He could probably give me a list. Am I right on that, Eric?
We discussed this, and I told him to send it to you, or asked him to get in touch with you, but I think he sent it to you. And you just asked the question the other way. It's which ones are lawful, and it's a small handful. All the rest are not.
We have to lay out the ones that are not, and show the ones that are, and by what authority they are correct. Because there has to be legislative powers, and they have to be properly lawful legislative powers in order to do this, which is limited by 18 powers in Article 1, Section 8.
We can do this, GR. We can do that with GR. He's got the knowledge.
Why don't we try to connect with him this week? Try to get him on the phone or something.
Holidays began, but I'll see.
Yeah, because that's one of the things I'd like to get to Trump on. We have to get rid of all these agencies. It's getting your foot in the door. You can sell yourself on one situation with Trump and his administration, and they start working with you on it, and they see the seriousness of what we're doing and the research that we've done and the validity of what we've been doing, then it'll give more credibility in the things that are harder for them to understand. Common law is simple to understand. And they talk about it all the time, and they don't even realize it. Trump mentions common law all the time and doesn't even know it that he's mentioning it. It's called common sense, because that's what common law is, nothing more than common sense. Maxims are created by common sense. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. And anybody that has common sense. You know, there are people who don't have common sense. I think we could say maybe 10% of the population does not have common sense for one reason or another. Maybe they're a psychopath or a sociopath or some other thing, I don't know. But generally speaking, you know, we have to get back to the world of common sense. And we've lost our common sense because when you look at all the things that they're doing, people don't even have the common sense because they're so confused on whether it's lawful or not, or they accept all these things because they've lost their common sense. Because they've been working on this for a long time to bring us into slavery. So anyway, that is another thing, is to shut down all of these different agencies that have no power and no authority because they didn't have constitutional authority to do that. So I'd like to, if you can talk with the GR in an email, and maybe, I don't necessarily know that we have to have a phone call unless he wants to talk, but definitely I'd like to get that list. And maybe after I get the list, maybe that would be a good time to talk, because I might have some questions on that. See what you could do about setting that up, Eric.
He might. Okay. Yeah. And he might have carbon copied me on that. I'll look for it. But I think that's how I know he sent it to you, because I might have it somewhere.
I'll look too. But if he did send it to me, you know, I get so much sometimes. A lot of things fall away. Just don't have the time to deal with everything. But if you do have it, get it to me. Before you contact him, let me go through that, and then we'll try to make contact and maybe have a conversation. If
that sounds good. I was going to say, if you do talk to Brent, the other thing we need to focus on, I believe, and I'm sure you agree, is we need to start with our children and teach them how to think like freemen. I mean, that's part of common law. It's part and parcel. It's all wrapped up. But, you know, Brent, in Excellence of the Common Law, he speaks about this, the two types of education that they had in Old England. You had two choices. You could be a freeman or you could be an indentured servant. And we need to teach freemanhood, freemanship. That's what we need. That has to go hand in hand, because the people today, as you were mentioning, they have no idea. They think like slaves. They think like indentured servants. And a lot of people are just real comfortable with it. They're genuflected and they're happy about it. You know, they'll brag about paying their taxes, which just means you're a real good slave.
Until they get stuck in their court system.
I'm sorry?
Until they get stuck in their court system, then they'll...
Yeah, exactly, until they get stuck in their court.
I want to be one of them freemen that owns a lot of indentured servants. How about that?
Then you wouldn't really be a freeman, would you?
No, I'd be a freeman. They'd be my servants.
I guarantee you there'd be plenty of people who'd want to fill that role as an indentured
servant. You're a volunteer, right?
A lot of people don't want to think for themselves. This is one of our biggest challenges. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, common is just very uncommon today. Very uncommon.
Very uncommon.
Yeah, you take 10%, John, I don't know about that. Because they haven't learned to read or write, they can't discern anything.
Right.
I just wanted to make a comment about Trump. Listen, Trump has experienced the worst of the worst in our court system.
That's the point we have to bring up to him, is that he hasn't really experienced anything to what we experience in the courts, because he was able to eventually defeat it, all these court things, but we haven't been able to do it at all.
That's because you don't play politics.
Right. Well, he's got the power and the authority, and you know they're frightened of him.
But he understands all these illegal gag orders, and they did their own thing. That's why it took them so long. They didn't follow the law, and they made new laws up as they went along.
Yeah.
Charge them with felonies, things that weren't even felonies.
Well, that's true, no doubt. And so he should have an appreciation of this. We just have to write it right. We have to couch our position in the right way in order to also use the experiences that he has been going through these past 8 years or so, particularly with the courts in the past couple of years. And to be able to work it out that he relates back and forth to that, because I don't know that he realizes how much liberty we've really lost. I mean, he does to a large degree, but I'm talking about in the courts itself. I haven't found a just court yet. They don't exist in America. There is no court of justice. Don't exist. But going back to education, that is the key. I know I've mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. You know, I sent my son to a private school, a Christian school, and it was very affordable. And he went 3 years. He went to, kindergarten, first grade and second grade. We pulled him out for third grade for numerous reasons, but we were, educating our daughter at home because she was ill. So we figured we'd take him home and educate him at the same time there. But the thing is, his education that he got up to second grade, he was reading at a 7th or 8th grade level already, at second grade. And, getting up to be able to get up. Every child had to get up on a stage and give a speech. Some of them would sing, do different. But everybody learned to do things, and to really get involved. Their education just was unbelievable. And that means anybody can do it if we get our schools proper. You have the basic education, your reading, your writing, your arithmetic, mathematics and stuff, geography and history, all those things. But we have to have real history. American history is the most important, but world history, of course, is important too. But the focus should be on American history, who we are as a people, what kind of nation we are, what is the common law, what are we under, real civics, understanding and learning the Constitution, our court system, the processes, the procedures, our children should come out at 12th grade and they're being held back, okay? They're always being held back, but they should be able to come out at 12th grade and have literally a very solid college education that we appreciate today, okay? Of course, further education is necessary to get your doctrines. For instance, if you want to become a medical doctor or whatever doctrine you want to chase. But other than that, we should be a highly educated people. But we are not. We are highly ignorant people. And you get kids coming out of school that barely can read and write. I mean, what is that all that about? Because they're not teaching them properly. But what you're going to really liberate them is the common law, teaching who we are as a people, where we come from, what our whole nation is built upon, that we are a republic, we are not a democracy, parties destroy. It's a right against the left. It's a constant argument. You never settle on anything. And whatever you do, they do settle on, it's all unconstitutional. Because they come with the compromises. When you break up the parties, they're not voting in a block. They're voting their conscience. And people need to be involved on the grassroots level, watching these people through their committees of safety. You got to give up a couple of hours a month, 3 or 4 hours a month to participate with that kind of a thing. 2 hours maybe at the meeting, and you might have 2 hours of work, maybe some phone calls or whatever, a few things to do to bring to the next meeting as you're building, your plans to deal with your government. Because we have government by the consent to the people, and the people are not consenting to their government. They think by going and voting that consenting, it's nothing. It means nothing. It's worthless. They'll say anything to get your vote. And they just want to get the job and get the money. They're all millionaires. I don't know if you're paying attention to the news. All these people in government, they go in broke. They go in as paupers, and they come out with millions and millions. Where's all this money come from? Insider trading and all kinds of stuff going on. Payola. There's so much corruption in this country, okay? And the people are letting it go. It's because of us. The fault is now on us. That's who it is. So we need to fix it. And you got to give a few dollars a month to your committee of safety, or whatever, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever it is to support the work of the committee of safety, But people don't seem to be willing to do that. I'll tell you, I'm depressed about it. I, in my own county here, got together with quite a few people, and they really don't seem to want to do anything, it's depressing. It is very depressing. It's hard to wake people up. But anyway, we need to move on, I guess, to other things. So, I don't know, Eric or Gerard, if you have anything final to say before we go to the questions here in the queue?
That was the last of the questions, John.
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, see what you can do about finding that out, Eric, and then if you have it, we'll talk about it after I look at it. I just don't remember.
No worries. I'll let you know what I find.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're going to take our first caller here. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? We got a couple people in the queue. Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an app or browser, should be a button. Okay, John from Michigan, good to see you. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, Dan, did you, on the things that Jan sent out, one of the first ones was an affidavit for some from some lady out west about slavery, I mean, child trafficking and stuff in Yellowstone and all. Did you read that?
No, I haven't. Is this something that just came in an email recently?
Yeah. Jan, there's every week he sends out stuff for new topics, whatever like that. And one of them was a final affidavit from some lady. And I don't have it right in front of me, but it was on the emails he sent out. Has a bunch of different topics on it. And one of them was about a lady. She was talking about she was sex trafficked when she was younger and the secret societies and stuff like that. I just wondered if you had read that, if you had any comment on it. It just blew my mind. I'm going, holy crap. It was Jan, one of those guys might know what it was about. I just read it, and I was just I shuddered. I just wonder if you read it.
Well, no, I haven't. I don't know if Jan wants to bring up anything on that, or Eric or anyone that wants to maybe have a little knowledge on that. It doesn't surprise me. I mean, we know that this kind of thing is going on, so I'm not surprised by it. We know that we had that one woman. I'm trying to think who the interviewer was with this one woman with the Rockefeller thing, where she was being groomed by Rockefeller very young, that kind of thing. Which I presume is the kind of stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about. I mean, the dumbs, the deep underground bases, and out in Yellowstone, you talk about access behind all these waterfalls. I'm going. I was. It was beyond pale for me. I was saying. I don't even know what to think about that. You know, but it was. You put it out in under the NLA, under the auspices of that. Anyway, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm familiar with those things, but not the specifics of those things. I mean, I didn't know anything about Yellowstone or anything. I didn't read. Was that a long paper on that?
Yeah, it was an affidavit from this lady. It was final affidavit, and I could probably look it up. But I mean, in my emails.
I'll take a look. I may, you know, I'm sure I got it through the. You're saying it came out on weekly.
Yes. It was up toward the top. It was a final affidavit from. So it was very well written. Don't get me wrong. But just the facts as she was laying them out, and it was an affidavit. I was flabbergasted. Let's put it that way.
And let me ask a quick question to John here. What was the name of the society? It was the Six what?
You're talking to me or to John Dresch?
Talking to you.
I'm talking to you, John.
Okay.
Which John?
I'm sorry. Crookston.
John, can I get your attention for a second?
Sure.
The thing John is referring to from Michigan, it's by Jesse Marie.
Yes.
In Casper, Wyoming, an affidavit, final draft. There are those, she says, there are those that wish they could die, but death eludes them.
Exactly.
Our place is underground, literally our living hell. And what was it this week they pulled, was it? 80 or 800 kids out of one of these places, underground, huge things.
Well, I just heard that they found 80,000 children.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but I didn't pick up. You know, I've been so focused on so many different things, and I've been working diligently on my next book, and which I pretty much completed today. I just have to format and go through all that, so maybe I get it published in the next day or two, and I'll put the word out at that point. But in any event, pop me a copy of that. I'm not sure what
I put a copy in your Skype just now, John. The Thanks. Article is dated 16 October 2023.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll find the time to read it. Is it a long paper?
It's fairly long. It'll take you about 10 minutes to read it.
Oh, well, that's nothing, 10 minutes, so.
What's the name of the society? Crookston. What did you say it was? Six Figure or Six Finger?
I didn't know about that. They were talking about four different societies, the Jesuits, the Masons, a bunch of other things that she was talking about, how they all tied together. It was, if you read this thing, I said, oh, my gosh, it's so complicated. It's so tied together, you know. All the people you might think are might be helping you are hurting you. I mean, it's whatever they're telling you, I'm pretty sure nothing is a truth anymore. I'm just curious how much of that is truth and how much that is. Yeah.
My wife, we have this book. It's called Thanks for the Memories. It's my wife said it's free online now. We have a paperback. Bryce Taylor or Susan Ford. I forget which name she uses, but he's a contemporary of Kathy O'Brien. Kathy O'Brien's more popular. And Sevatar, who you mentioned, she knows Kathy O'Brien, I think. But if you read this book, you'll see, I mean, it's very detailed. And they use them as sex slaves, but they also use them as human computers. It's really messed up. If you hear a story, I had to actually put it down. My wife read more of it than I did. I mean, it's disturbing. But yeah, it includes all these families and includes all of our presidents. I mean, it's really, truly messed up. And it goes farther and deeper than most people could handle going. But if you really want to get to the basics, and Sevatar is from the younger generation. There are others too. You know, there's the girl in Fiona Barnett in Australia. I haven't heard from her in some years. She might be dead by now, but that's the younger generation. Then there's the Ashcraft girl. She and Fiona seem to be of the same generation, just like Susan Ford and Kathy O'Brien. I mean, they just keep doing it over and over and over again, and it's demonic depravity. But yeah, it's a real thing, I think, and it's just one of the many things we need to address. And again, like I say, we cannot survive the weight of this corruption. It will crush us. Reading the ratification debates, as I'm doing now in earnest. I wanted to tell you about that too, John, but I'll go into it another time. I've actually got the tip out soon. But I found some stuff out about the common law and the grand jury that our founding fathers knew, and there was specific reasons why they never put it into the Constitution, and that was so as to not limit it. But I'll share that with you at another time, but it's really fantastic.
They did put it into the Constitution under the word law, because if you look up the word law in law or at law in Brovier's, or if you look at it in Black's Law, it defines it as that which is proceeds according to the common law.
You're absolutely correct, and they did. They did put it. They did say in accord to the common law as well. Yeah, same thing. But that's as far as they went, and they did that for a reason, so as not to limit it.
I understand, and I would agree with that. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, I got to share it with you. It's really fantastic stuff. They talk about 12-man juries, and they talk about having what they call hundreders. A certain amount, each state was different, but a certain amount of people from your hundreds, from your 100 families, and then you could go out to fulfill the rest of the 12 juries with those in the county, but no farther than that. It's just so much different than what we have today.
This could be appreciated through the committees of safety, because when you come together with the committee of safeties, for instance, in Dutchess County, we have, I think it's 19 towns and 2 cities, so it's 21 entities. And if you get a committee of safety going and you have people from all these different areas, then they could be appreciated as each one of the 100s, so you really spread out through the county alone. And these are the kind of things we have to think about and learn about and talk about and work together. If we're not active, the only people that can secure the liberty is the people themselves. They have to be active. That's why the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of our law, the foundation of our law, and in the foundation of the law it says that we have government by the consent of the people. So that means the people have to be active, and if you're not active, okay, then you're not consenting, and no one is consenting. If you don't have a committee of safety going, you are not active at all, and you don't have anything that really even looks like government by consent, because as one person, they can just swat you down and just move on, and nobody even knows what even happened. I mean, united we stand and divided we shall fall. This nation cannot be what it was intended to be without the people being active on the grassroots level. And you don't need everybody. You just don't. Again, my county, I forget what the population is, but I'm trying to think. I don't want to say because I'm not even sure. You only need, if you get 200-300 people on a committee of safety within a county, you are hugely powerful, okay? And the other part of the committee of safety is to educate the populace. And to work to get a proper education within our schools, to take control of our school boards and our town boards, and bring them back under the law, and get rid of these people that are not, honoring their oath and doing the right thing. So, but, again, people expect to be ignorant and free. Forget about it. Ain't happening.
Well, I've told a lot of people that the same. If you had one person out of 1,000, I think our county has 250,000 people. So by definition, one out of 1,000 would be 250 people, and you could control that county with 250 people working hard at it real quickly.
Absolutely. Well, they're doing it right now through the Republicans and the Democrats and the other different groups that they got going there. They're doing it right now. For instance, my county has 249 committeemen in each party. Okay, so they already got 500 people operating, but the Republican Party has 250 or 249, and the other party has 249. As far as the other parties, the constitutional parties, whatever other parties they have out there, they have no power at all. It's just worthless even trying to do anything with that. But that's not the solution anyway, because every party will always become corrupt, and a party is just one group of people against the other. It's called factions. That's what our founders talked about all the time. And Washington spent two-thirds or three-quarters of his farewell address talking about the problem with parties, the factions. They're going to destroy America. All they do is bicker back and forth, but there's a plan going on. We know that we have the rhinos in the Republican Party. They're just the sleepers, so to speak. And when the time comes up for them to vote for the right, for their side, they go and they betray us, and that's how we can identify them, who they are. But the thing is, if you're fighting there's no reason for them to fight and debate and to go through all this crap, because the whole job has already been done. We the people laid it out for them. There's no reason for them to get involved with this, to talk about our unalienable rights to have a weapon or free speech. They don't need to be talking about that. And as long as you have parties, they will eventually get to that conversation. And they'll start to put the cameras up like we talked about a little earlier, that the elite is always pushing for. They want a camera everywhere and send you tickets and just incarcerate you for this and for that, fine you for this and for that, total control. That's what they want. That has not gone away yet. But I do know one thing. I know that Trump is on top of this thing with all of this trafficking, particularly with children. And I know he's going to do something. And what I believe is going to happen, he's waiting. He's waiting until he gets all his people in place. And then the floodgates of what's been going on is just going to open up. That's why he put, I think, anyway, the JFK, the RFK, and all of that information to come out, I think, 60 days. I think it's 60 days that he gave him, had to have it out. And you got to give them some time, of course. But I think 60 days is a long time. I don't think he should have done 60 days from the one perspective. But on the other perspective, I think he's figuring that's how long it's going to take before he gets all his people in place. And when that stuff comes out, then that's when I think he's going to then put out all this other stuff, all this pedophilia going on, all these people. He's going to get rid of a lot of people in Congress, a lot of people all over throughout government. They're going to be running, hiding under rocks and places, wherever they can go, leaving the country, a lot of them. And I think they're going to get away with it because liberty is moving throughout the entire world. It is, the people have had it. And once America really gets laid out and is able to stand strongly on the feet of liberty, so to speak, okay, the rest of the nations will find it to be able to follow right in suit behind. And there's a lot of countries already doing this, taking control and getting rid of all of the evil, or working to try to get rid of all the evil. It's going to happen. And it's going to happen, I think, really when the floodgates open. That's what I think. And I think so. We're looking at 2-3 months before those floodgates open. And then all hell is going to break loose. But we'll see what happens.
Well, hopefully it's not a train coming the other direction and a tunnel instead of a light at the end of the tunnel, but we'll see. It's...
Well, one of the other problems is they're assaulting us and attacking us already. I think this is, I'm trying to think, maybe it was on, let me just take a real quick here look. There's another, no, wrong place here. On the news that we watch, okay, we have, and we know, I think it's the SGT report, today's SGT report. I think this is it. This particular one, which was the latest one, it was done a day ago. I listened to this today. And they get really deep into some of these serious problems that are going on with an assault. We're being attacked right now. We don't even realize it. You know, all these fires, I'm sure a lot of people realize there's something really crazy going on out there in California. And the whole thing was a setup. These fires are being set. And a lot of it is coming from space, you know. They talk very, as an individual woman, I think it was on this particular channel, that was talking about this and getting into specifics. Clearly, she's been looking at this stuff and learning this stuff for quite some time. And so she really had a lot of information laying out their whole plan and what they're doing. Same thing with that hurricane down in, what is it, the Carolinas.
Right.
Down in there, same thing. That was an assault, you know. They're far beyond what we knew or understand as HAARP. Still have the same process. But this woman was talking about, well, they get these fires going, and the question was, well, what about the wind? They actually have a way to create wind, okay, to get the wind blowing, to get these fires. And look what they did in Hawaii, same thing. And that just fell away. No one's talking about that either. You know, and there's a lot more going on. I got to believe that the White Hats know about this. And hopefully are working to try to stop it. Maybe they prevented a lot of it already. I don't know. But we're being attacked, you know, from many different directions.
Well, the interesting thing about that was I've got a daughter. My youngest daughter is, well, she's almost 39, whatever like that. But, you know, dad's crazy, you know, and all this stuff. And she mentioned the other day, she was home and she said, you know, I think those fires out in California, there's something wrong out there. There's a conspiracy going. I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I heard that from my daughter. You know, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, not, but I mean, if you look at that, I mean, there's cars burning to nothing, and the wheels, aluminum wheels, and the thing melting and running down the road. You know, I mean, if you throw a piece of aluminum in a microwave, it'll start a fire. Okay, and it's burning the metal first, or burns the dense stuff first, and like the telephone poles. Oh, if you look at those pictures of the fires down there. The wires, the power cables were burning. They were in crazy fire, and it all the heat, all the steel that held the wires up to the telephone poles, they got hot, and that's where really the telephone poles started on fire and burn them off right at the top, and then they down the trees. The trees were burning up underneath in the ground, and these houses were just cooked. There was nothing but white ashes left, and right next to them were trees with leaves on them. I mean, the trees
are burning from within, like you say. That's where the fires are going. You see, that's the other thing that this woman was talking about. They had to do something with the water, because if they had the water there, they try to put the fires out, they'd realize that they wouldn't be able to do that, because it's so hot and so intense that the water doesn't have enough effect on it. Okay? Anybody who's not listening to these reports, you're missing out on a lot of the details of what's happening. SGT report is very good, and we know is very good, and you can find these particular things that a lot of us here at National Liberty Alliance listen to. If you go under the welcome tag tab, and you look, I think it's on this. Let's see, up to date news. Okay. And maybe people that are coming to our regular meetings, maybe they're up on this, but everybody throughout NLA or anywhere should know. The X-22 report, and I put this in the order that I listen to, because I can't get through all this news every day. I got way too much work to do, and I listen to a lot of this stuff in the background as I'm working, and, you know, I can only absorb so much because I try to focus in on whatever I'm doing. But I do a lot of mindless things, you know, like right now I'm formatting my book. I spent all day on it. And I was able to listen to news a lot better because it doesn't take much of a mind to do the formatting. But and we know, okay, SGT report. Crossroads, this guy is a really good reporter. Q News Patriot, front page with Scott Goulet. Christian Patriot News. This guy hasn't been putting much out lately, but occasionally he puts something out there. Stephen Gardner, he puts out a lot of good stuff. Every day there's a lot of good details and information. Of course, Tucker. And then if I ever get down to these things, I do like to try to listen to Joe Rogan. But anyway, if you're listening to these news individuals here, you're really going to be totally informed. They're covering a lot of this stuff. Pretty powerful. All right. Anything else, John? We've got to move on.
I just saw that. I was wanting some comments on the thing. But yeah, read it and I don't know, maybe comment on it next week. I was fascinated, horrified, and disappointed and disillusioned all at once, if you can believe that. So how's that sound?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, people are waking up everywhere. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, I hear about it. I had a call from my niece, who wasn't really into any of this stuff, and she's exploding on it now. So.
There you go. My daughter's the same way. I mean, it's they've cooked their goose.
Yeah.
Nobody believes them anymore.
Okay, John, I got to move on. Appreciate
right.
the call. Okay, let's take our next caller here. We have, it looks like, Sean from Hotmail there. What's your state, Sean?
Hi, sorry. Sean, my name did appear. I'm in California.
Sean, oh, goodness. California, you're in trouble out there, huh?
Yes, and I've spoken to you guys several times in the past, but it's been many, many months since I've been on. And my questions are always around, I'm trying to get my husband out of prison. He's been in prison for 40 years. He's being held unlawfully.
Yeah, I remember talking to you. What was the charges on him?
He has two life sentences for kidnapping.
And who did they say he kidnapped and, you know?
Well, he committed the crimes. He did commit the crimes and he admitted to the crimes. Mm-hmm. But he did not have a jury trial. He was 19 years old at the time. Very rough upbringing, put in foster care from birth, severe sexual, physical and emotional abuse from birth until, he committed his crimes and was placed in prison. None of his... factors were mitigated. None of the contributing factors were mitigated. And just the things that I've learned from you, you know, I've been using that information to try and convince them that he's being held unlawfully. And every writ we've ever filed is denied. And so most recently, with the new legislation in January regarding resentencing, we've made several attempts to try and get him back into court to have them recall his sentence. And that just keeps getting denied as well. And so our latest attempt was my husband actually had a couple of other inmates report that they were in court recently, and the judge that they were before was a good man, and that he was making statements that, you know, he doesn't really believe in the criminal justice system is working, and he doesn't really believe incarceration is the answer. Well, lo and behold, this was the convicting judge of my husband 40 years prior. And so we put together a packet to him personally and wrote him and asked him if he would be willing, because he has the power, if he would be willing to recall his sentence, since he's the one that convicted him 40 years ago. And I put together a really nice packet, explained all the reasons why he actually qualifies. He meets all the criteria for resentencing. And I got a letter or an email from the court clerk, and he said that, quote, the judge cannot hear this case or hear any case that has not previously been before him. And I was so confused because I literally wrote a 6-page personal letter, and in the second paragraph, I stated you were the convicting judge, and I provided a copy of the court documents with his name on it. And so I didn't understand why they were saying he couldn't he couldn't hear the case because the case has never been before him, when in fact it has. So when I responded and said, but in fact he has heard the case before, he was the convicting judge, I stated that, you know, at the very beginning of my letter, and I provided another copy in the email of the letter and a copy of the court document. And then at that point, the court clerk replied back to me and said that it was inappropriate what I was doing, and that if I wanted to get a case calendared, I needed to call the public defender's office. And so I called the public defender's office. Yeah, no, I know, it's the runaround.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. Here's the thing. What you're trying to do is difficult. I guess your husband's what, 59 now, pushing 60?
60, yep.
Yeah, because he's 19.
Yes.
That should be taken into consideration at some point. Maybe, again, I don't know nothing about the case. I don't know nothing about the individual. I don't know, maybe he's a psychopath or a sociopath, and that becomes a big
none of the above, yeah.
Okay. In any event, here's the thing. If we are successful, and I do believe we can be successful if we have the funding to really do what we have to do, but even without the funding, with the little bit that we are able to do, it, I think, is going to eventually bring us to where we need to be. If we go back to the common law, get back under every person who has been at least convicted at least since 1938, which is when the Rules Enabling Act came into effect, and they actually put the rules out. The Rules Enabling Act was in 1934, and then in 1938 they came out with the rules. And then that's when they also combined equity and law and called it civil law. We're now under statutes. We're under, and people don't realize this is why it's so important to be educated in this. Now, every court case since then, okay, is null and void.
Correct.
They're all null and void.
Correct.
That's a huge, huge problem.
Correct.
Okay.
And I even, just to let you know, I even included your memorandum to the Supreme Court in there for, to support my claim that, he's being held unconstitutionally and unlawfully, and this needs to be.
But you got to remember, you got to remember, you're talking to people who have poisoned minds. These people are really poisoned. They. And immediately, as soon as you mention certain key things, their mind shuts off. They're not listening no more. And this is a problem with that's why we got to get rid of the bar attorneys out of our courts to begin, number one. And that's why we have to get to people who are in power one place or another that's intelligent and they're on the right track with trying to do what is just and right, but they haven't gone to law school. Their minds are not corrupted to the point that they listen. We can turn them, because we're talking common sense and who we are as a people.
Right.
So the opportunity, I think, is going to arise eventually, but we have to win our federal courts. It's critical that we do that. And it's critical that the people build the committees of safety to maintain our liberty. Otherwise, it's not going to be maintained. Personally, I think the Lord's coming soon anyway on the other side, but he does command us to occupy until he comes. So we have to continue to fight no matter what.
Well, and that's what I'm doing. And so my question for you today is, what is the history of the public defender's office, and what is their obligation if I can, get somebody there that is open-minded and not, completely brainwashed?
Well, again, when you go back to the public defender, you're back to, first of all, the worst of the worst anyway. To some degree, but they're all infected with the bar teachings, and that is the problem. Who wants a bar attorney representing you when their first focus on who they have to really obey is the court itself?
Right.
And they are for the court system and the judge. And what's going on there before they offer their own client? They sell their client down the road all the time. People don't they have no clue on this. And that's why an education is so important. People need to get an education. And I really, it's really important that anybody that's listening in, if you don't know the common law, if you don't know how the process of the court, due process works in the court, and you don't know how the court system is structured, the day's going to come. When you get stuck in this situation, and then you're going to be, really stuck. We get a lot of people who there's a lot they can do, but they don't have the knowledge to be able to receive the information that we might suggest to them and be able to execute it, because there's so much more. You have to know how to write a case. You have to know how things work. You have to understand the difference between law and equity. You have to understand those things. And you have to understand how to push your case forward and how to use the forms. It's really not... Again, even the process, going through the discovery and all those things that you go through, we lay it all out in our course. But even going through all that, once you start to look at that and understand that, the court systems are still structured through a logical process that works. The only problem is that makes it not work is they have civil law instead of common law in its place. And once we get the common law back in, if you understand how things work and the process and the procedures to work through your case and how to work, use these forms, and again, it's all logical. It's a lot of common sense. You know, I even with this divorce courts, I've been involved with one, you know, all the way through for someone, and I've been helping another person on this going through the divorce courts, and the whole thing, they do have it logically set up, but the problem is you have the division taking place. It's like parties. You know, you go into a divorce court, there's way too many lawyers there, and especially if there's children involved. You have three or four or five. Where can you ever get three or four or five lawyers to agree on any one point? It just doesn't happen. Okay, they're all in for their own interests, number one. They think they're defending the individual, and all they're doing is creating more problems with the other individuals involved, the whole family. They're destroying it, the family courts, the divorce courts, all the same thing. It's all garbage, it's unlawful, it's unconstitutional, and it doesn't work. It's not how it should work, you know. I don't know whether I ever wrote a plan on that. I've worked through it. I don't know if I ever actually produced a paper on it, but I'll take a look. You know, what we need to do to replace these family courts and divorce courts, you know, and what people don't realize is, you know, once one side of your party, you know, the spouse goes and files into the court system, you're stuck into it, because when you got married, it was a three-party agreement. It was you, your spouse, and the government. Because once you went and get that license and went through that process, and then they even try to grab that through, even if you go through a church marriage, they still go through that license process. They make the government a partnership in your marriage. People don't understand that. You know, you have to realize, you know, when a marriage breaks up, it's counseling that needs to be done, not a court, okay? Yeah, if you have someone really out of order, then you can always go in for certain specific, because, you know, situations where you can get a court to make a decision because they can't really make the decision, or you sign in for arbitration where the arbitrator is final in the word of the decision between something that you can't really, you know, come to a conclusion and agreement with. But I will say that the way that when you go through the paper and how they figure all these things out, it is logical. It's common sense, and it is pretty good. But again, it's the lawyers that screw that whole thing up. But okay, in any event, you know, I think you'll have an opportunity.
Can you circle back just really quick? Sorry. Do you have any ideas, recommendations, thoughts on
the only thing I can tell
you next?
Yeah, the only thing I could tell you, I don't know if anything you could do next right now, because you're not going to get anyone to listen to you. But once we get the federal courts back, and we've got courts of justice, then that opportunity is there, because we're going to press very hard on that fact. Now, we're not. Look, there are a lot of people in jail that don't belong in jail. Okay,
right.
Let's take the IRS, all the people they put in debtors' prisons.
Right.
That's what it is. They're in debtors' prisons. Matter of fact, that's one of the things I want to address to Trump here. And you know, I did get an email, and I'm sure a lot of people got an email where Trump's sending out and says, hey, I want to listen to what you have to say, blah, blah, blah. It almost sounds like he's doing it personally to you, but it's really a lot of people. And he's looking for the opinion of the people. He's trying to open up, and it's a good thing what he's doing. But we've already got his ear on a few things, and, you know, we have credibility. We've been here for a long time. You know, with National Liberty Alliance, we've got 10 books out, 9 books out there. I've got a 10th book coming up. And we've got the website with a huge amount of education. We've got papers in the courts. We've written papers. We've copied them. We've done indictments, habeas corpuses. I mean, they got a copy of all this stuff. So we have credibility, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I think he's listening to some degree, and I'm going to try to get through him also through his son. But I think we're going to be able to push. But one of the things I want to push for heavily on the next communications with him, you know, he's given these pardons. He really needs to give across-the-board pardons to anybody who's in debtor's prison, anybody at the IRS, you know, because it's all corrupt. He knows it's corrupt, and he's moving it away to, you know, making them the federal, what is it called, the external Revenue Service, and which takes it away from the people, and we don't pay taxes, which we never should pay taxes. It's unlawful. The Constitution doesn't permit, direct tax upon the people. And the 16th Amendment, the Supreme Court has ruled on a couple occasions. It's nothing new to the whole thing. It just put everything back to where it was. It was talking about corporations. And the 16th Amendment was never ratified either. That's another thing. We've sent paperwork and showed that. We put all the evidence together and sent it in to the Supreme Court. We sent it to Trump. We sent it to his new attorney general and then 30 other people. Laid out the fact that the 16th Amendment is not lawful because it was never ratified to begin with. And you know what? Anything, you take the 17th Amendment, which also wasn't ratified, but nevertheless, even if it was ratified, it's null and void on its face because it breaks the balance of power. Okay? It totally destroys the constitutional balance of power. It does not exist no more, and the states have nothing to say, nothing, on what goes on. They used to, the 17th Amendment took their representation, their right to make their vote. But they don't have that no more. It's been taken from them. And we don't need to go through a constitutional convention to get rid of that. We don't need to do anything other than to just nullify it because it's repugnant on its face. It denies the power of the people. It breaks the balance of power, and it was never ratified. So it's just null and void across the board on so many different ways. So
now,
that's
the question.
Yeah.
What was this? Was this person, your husband, convicted by a jury?
No.
No.
No, that's Whoa. My whole point. I told you that Whoa. Initially. Yes. No.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. I thought
oh,
you
yes,
said.
I told
oh,
you this
wow.
Months and months ago.
Yeah. Let me think about this. Let's talk
okay.
next week.
He was 19 years old. He was arrested. He confessed, fully confessed to the crimes, pled guilty, and was sentenced. There was never a jury. None of his contributing factors were ever mitigated. Nothing. He was mentally challenged at the time due to the severe trauma that he had experienced for 19 straight years while in foster care. He was sexually abused. Profoundly sexually abused and physically abused his entire childhood.
Are you okay, trying to reverse the sentence or the whole trial?
It's null and void.
I know, exactly. I'm trying to get him out of jail. He's been in 40 years.
Listen.
He's, go ahead.
Yeah, listen. We've spent a lot of time, and I want to spend more time.
Sure.
Bring this back up next week if you can come in. I'm going to think about this a little bit, and maybe I'll put something together. But here's the thing, and again, we're up against poisonous minds. You've got to remember that.
Right.
Okay, they think because someone pleaded guilty to a crime that they can go out and just sentence that person and make all the decisions. That's right. Not possible under common law. That person could plead guilty to the crime if they want, but they have to do it before the jury. And
right.
the jury gets to hear everything about why they're pleading guilty and whatever story they have to say, and then the jury could make that decision. And whenever a jury makes the decision, at the final end of that point, and when we try to train and teach this, and we're going to be working diligently on this if we can get into the local courts by bringing in the administrators for the grand jury, which will orientate the jury, and whether it be the Pettit or the grand jury. But again...
Well, John,
the final thing that a jury has to decide is the consideration of mercy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is the final. They got to look at everything. They can make their decisions,
right.
Innocence and guilt, and say, okay, are there extenuating circumstances
Thank
here
you.
That we should consider mercy to begin
right.
with, number one. The other thing is that they get to decide what the penalty is.
Right.
The judge has no business.
Yeah.
When a judge makes a decision, it's called a summary decision, and that is not lawful in any court of law. It's just not lawful.
And everything you've taught me over the past 2 years, I've been following you. I have used all of your language, and everything comes back denied. Every
right,
time.
Look, I got to find some time. I'm working on a lot of things, and hopefully this week I'll button up on that stuff. And maybe I can write a paper that I can get to you and think about it.
I would appreciate that. He's been in 40 years. And if nothing else, he qualifies for resentencing right now. And that's where they should go back and redo, do right what they did wrong the first time 40 years ago.
All right. Well, look at... Send an email to me. You can send it through the mail at National Liberty Alliance, and
okay.
All our leadership will get it. But I want specific, detailed information, maybe in my paper that I'm writing to Trump and others, that maybe we'll add his name in here and why.
I've been wanting to write Trump myself, honestly.
Right. I'll tell you what. Have you written a paper on this? Do you have an affidavit that really explains the whole thing?
Well, I wouldn't call it an affidavit, but I've written many letters.
Okay, well, think about that. Look, I want to move on to other people right now, but think about that, and we'll talk, okay?
Okay.
Your chances of getting something done will be much greater once we can get the federal courts back, okay?
Right.
Because then they're going to have to consider this case. But now that you said that there was absolutely no jury involved at all, that makes it much more powerful. You might be able to do something now. I'll see what we can do.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Yep.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's take our next caller. Thank you. Okay, we have Warren, it looks like. What's your state? Looks like New York. Warren from New York, is that it?
Yeah. 204? And I'm from Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie, right down the road. Okay.
Yes. And the question is about mortgage foreclosure, seizure of property without jury trial. And rights to a jury trial.
Right. Well, we wrote a paper on that. You know what? Maybe I'll try to get that paper up on our law page. But people should be taking a law course. Let me just tell you a little bit about the law course, okay? If you go under the Education Starts Here and you come down to courses, Court Access in the Common Law course, and you click on that, you can get a lot of information. And when you go on this page, you know, at the bottom of the page is a video. And the video, maybe it's not the bottom of the page, but let's see how much more we have. Okay, yeah, on this page, we give the table of contents. These are all the things that we cover in our course, okay? We go through all this, we put all the forms, and you have access to this indefinitely, so you'll be able to get all this information, come back and do whatever you want at any time. But here, this is video here. I think it's 3 hours. I don't remember whether the two or three. I think we were spending like 3 hours every one of our courses. So it's a total of 90 hours, a little over 90 hours course. But this is the first video. It gives you a flavor and a taste of the course and how it goes, how this course is really running through the process. So if you click on that, you can get that information. And again, it's the first video into the course. Now, if you sign in, and now we only charge $125 for that course. And that is a course that teaches you everything that a lawyer learns as far as the due process, going through discovery and all the information and the forms, everything, how things work. That's what you go to law school for. But they put the poison in there. We take the poison out. We put in the remedy, which is common law. But we do talk about the poison. We do talk about their codes and their regulations, how it needs to be applied towards them to some degree. We use that. You use codes and regulations to control the individuals you're dealing with in the court itself, that is, like the judge or the prosecutor or anyone else. Or if you're dealing with a government agency, you can apply the codes against them. This is what you have to do because this is how you have to operate, But anyway, this course is, like I said, $125. And it helps to support NLA work we're doing here, of course. And everyone should take this course, I'm telling you. So anybody that's in the court trying to deal with it, you need to take this course. You have to deal with, and we do cover mortgage problems in here. And so I have some papers on that. I'm going to move. Let me think about this. I'm going to move. Matter of fact, hold on. If you go over to our federal court cases, okay, action against the judiciary. Let me see. It probably would be in here because we had a lot of cases we moved into federal court for cause, and that was mortgages. And so you can read the cases, how we've written the cases here in this under this page here. Let me see if we can get to it quickly. Habeas corpuses, denial of due process, avoid Finnegan's murder, redress of grievances, writs, information, habeas corpuses, non-judicial foreclosures, okay? You can go through these non-judicial foreclosures and you can see how we've written it out, how they've broken the law, Okay, that the reason why they do what's called a non-judicial foreclosure, and they make laws on this. A lot of states, they don't even have the law, but they do the non-judicial foreclosure anyway. The reason why they do that, because they can't lawfully foreclose on you. That's why they do it, what they call a non-judicial foreclosure. And you would think that that would wake people up. Non-judicial foreclosure? Think about that. Taking away your property without due process, without going through the court to get due process. Non-judicial foreclosure. It's just a facade to make it look like you went to court to make you give up. I was trying to help somebody, and they just went through the first time where they came to say, you got to leave your home, okay? And I told the person, I said, you don't have to leave your home. You could be there 4 or 5 years before they actually get you out. Just fight, 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 fight. And, at some point they're going to win, but, hey, you can live for 4 years or 5 years in your home free of charge during that time period. And you could still be fighting it. You could be moving it into federal court because you won't win. But you could be setting the stage for the day that you can win. And that's what we're working towards, the day that we can win. So there's plenty of information there. You can see how we wrote the cases on these individuals.
Yes.
And by the way, we're going to be, I'm meeting with a couple of people this week to discuss some things and potentially to try to get committees of safety really operating in here. We also have a small law group that I'm trying to meet with. There's, 6, 7 people, I think. I don't remember. I don't even know the number, but I know the last meeting I went to, there was at least 7, 8 people there. And other people weren't there at that meeting. And they studied the law, they discussed the law, they come together, and they're also attached to the group of people that we're trying to get a committee of safety going through. So I'm going to be hopefully meeting with the leadership this week, and I'll be meeting with hopefully the whole group in the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to pull together to get a committee of safety going. So if you're interested in that, just send an email to mail, M-A-I-L, at National Liberty Alliance, and put in interested in the Committee of Safety in Dutchess County as the subject matter. That'll get my attention. What I need is your name and your phone. Well, actually, I got your name and phone number. So I'll give you a call. So you don't even have to do that. Okay? I'll call you in a week or so after I have my meeting. All right?
No problem.
And then you come, you could discuss with these people their thoughts and ideas on these non-judicial foreclosures. And I'll try to pull some paperwork together, and we'll see what goes on from there. I'm just trying to write your number down right now. All right, anything else? Or we'll move on to the next person.
Yeah. So I know the thing you just talked about, the summary judgment part, how that part is
unlawful. Yeah, summary judgments by a judge is unlawful in a court of law. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Did you have a question about that?
Yeah, that, like you have the case information on as well.
Oh, and summary judgment? Yeah, there's... let me think about this a minute. Let me see if I can open something up here and give you... You know what? I'll talk to you. Look, I'll call you within a week or two. I have a meeting coming up this week with the leadership of that group. And so maybe not this week, but maybe next week I'll give you a call and let you know when the meeting will be, and we'll get together. And at that point, I'll get your email, and I'll email you some stuff on that. Okay?
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We're going to take our next caller. It looks like Brandon from Michigan. You got the mic. Brandon from Michigan, it looks like. And I just opened your mic. You should have heard that. Okay, Brandon from Michigan.
Can you hear me?
There you go. I got you. Yep, we can hear you.
I just have a quick question. I was just recently in traffic court, and I used some of your paperwork They dismissed the case, but they didn't remove it off my record. Is that something that...
When you say they didn't remove it off your record, is saying that they gave you points or something, and so you have an insurance problem?
No, no, they just dismissed it. So when you look up my record, I still have a case.
Well, the fact that it's been dismissed doesn't mean that it would be removed from the record, although it should because it's unlawful anyway, but... eventually those things will be wiped clean, I would imagine, if we can get the common law down into the state and you know, actually we need to shut down the courts in the towns and in the villages. Maybe they have some purpose, but I can't think of any. Well, they actually have some purpose from the standpoint of dealing with commercial, and I think the commercial violation should be dealt with on the county level, not in the town or village courts. That's just giving them money. But once you get rid of the people in this whole thing, there's not enough to for them to support the work, to be able to afford to keep a town or a village court open, and even a police department to some degree anyway. But if they move it over into the county court, even if they make a division in the county court called... traffic violation, the traffic court, which that's what they wrote their codes on anyway, then it would be only lawful to apply that against people who are operating under commercial activities. So that's what we're going to be pushing for. But again, it takes time and money and work. And, I'm working on a day and night to these things. And we just need whatever funding we can get to get that paperwork out and do all the filings and keep the communications going. And I do some cases, that hopefully will help to leverage us in there. But anyway. They're not going to take it off. The thing is if they threw the case out, there are no points. It doesn't affect your insurance.
So if I filed like a notice of removal, it still wouldn't.
Yeah, because it's a court case. It's a court case, and they keep a record of it. It'll be on the record as a dismissal. But eventually, if we can win through the courts through this process down on that level, which again, it takes time to do. Eventually, it all becomes any of those court cases that was up against the person would have to be expunged because it doesn't belong there. It's improper, unlawful, repugnant. You can think of a lot of other words.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take our next caller, Brett Moore. You got the mic. Go right ahead. What state are you from, Brett? Brett, you got the mic. What state are you from? Last call for Brett. You got the mic. Okay, we're going to move to our next caller. Last call, Brett. Okay, next caller, Francine, from New York here.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. Very quickly, yes, 2025, I think, is going to be an explosive year in sense of revelation of information and uncovering the variety and depth of corruption that we have been subjected to over, beyond years. It's like entrenched and things that we never thought were corrupted are, and we're going to learn that. So, and with the children, it's worse than anything you can imagine. So that has to, as ugly as that is, it has to come out. All evil has to come out to be dealt with. And that's what God showed me about that. I got something in my email, well, actually my text, and it was about an event planned for the end of this week. Actually, kind of already started in upstate New York. And I'm going to read it to you. Large-scale nuclear training exercise to take place in Schenectady, New York. Remember Event 201? Public need not be alarmed. From January 26th to 31, 2025, a large-scale multi-agency nuclear incident training exercise will take place in the vicinity of Schenectady, New York, and surrounding counties of Albany, Saratoga, and Schenectady. The training exercise will not pose any risk to the area residents. Public does not need to be alarmed. Blah, blah, blah. Moving on. Oh, the department.
I wonder why they're putting time into that.
Take a guess.
But go ahead.
All right. Department of Defense, Department of Energy, Nuclear Security Administration, NASA, Federal Bureau, Investigation, Homeland Security, and state and local partners will conduct the exercise in several areas in Saratoga, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm trying to not read everything here, but it does say that they're going to go through the process of simulating a nuclear event and having people respond with equipment, but the public need not be alarmed.
Do they keep saying that over and over again?
Yes. And then it says, okay, well, here, the exercise is an opportunity for participating entities to practice and enhance operational readiness to respond in the event of a nuclear incident in the United States. Due to the sensitive nature of the capabilities being implemented, the training activities are not open to the public or media. Again, the training exercise will not pose any risk to the public. All right, so my point is, event 2001. If you recall, that happened just a month or two before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And based on what you said about Trump's announced revelation of JFK and all those others that he wanted to make exposed previously, and they convinced him not to. And you said it would be, 60 days. Well, that kind of lines up.
Yeah, I think, the MLK also. What's all that? I think that's coming out with everything. I think the outpouring of all this stuff that's been hidden, but he can't do it until he knows he has all his people in place and they're getting an understanding of the people that are in the different agencies and who they need to get rid of, who is the enemy, so on and so forth. They need to get, they got to get in position before he can actually pour this out.
We who are praying people have to pray that in. We've been praying him safety for his inauguration. We've been praying against all kinds of attacks that I heard about, and beyond what we are hearing or what has happened. And, again, this is about explosion.
It is all going to happen, and it is right. We need to be praying because, again, the Lord tells us to do those things, and he talks. He asks the question: is he going to find faith here on the last days? I know it's all going to happen because in Isaiah 14 it is very clear that the world is going to change.
Project Looking Glass, I'm sure you're familiar with that. Back in what I understand was 2012, they kept running different programs trying to change events to see if they come up with different outcomes, and always Jesus came back. So supposedly they don't use Looking Glass anymore. I don't know that that's true, but it is pretty cool that they kept trying to avoid Jesus coming back. Mm-hmm. But secondly, Jesus is going to come back in his own time. So our part of our prayer has to be protection and his timing. So like they would love to take Trump out early. They tried last summer, but it wasn't God's timing. So yes, everything's going to come out. Well, not by everything.
I don't believe they're going to be able to take Trump out because again, I do believe he's protected by a higher power. But he does have a good choice on the VP, And he's an intelligent guy. He articulates himself extremely well.
But we can't rely on a few people.
My point is this, though. If he were taken out, he would be the guy to replace him. And I do believe that he's being groomed. He's around Trump. He knows everything that's going on. He's absorbing all this stuff.
Yeah, but we need Trump now. He's a businessman. He's the lion tamer. So, anyway, the point, and also another thing that, like people are waking up to a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about, but not necessarily to God and to common law. Now, Trump does say it's common sense. It's common sense. So I think he's closer than you think he is.
That was my point, that he does see, if he, once he connects, makes that connection with common law and common sense, it's going to ring a bell in his brain. So the foundation for that is there.
Yes.
But
so,
I think his son is a key to be able to.
That's great. Yeah. But I think you're closer than you think you might be. So, but anyway, like Trump, I think it if anything, it's just one neural strand away. Now, as far as like everything else, like people recognizing that we have to demand true justice, true and mercy triumphing over justice, that first requires education. And you know, people say, "Oh, they're asleep. They don't care. They don't know." Da da da. Yeah, they're slaves because they've been trained that way. They've been trained to sleep.
It's hard to get, you know, a lot of them are waking up, but it's hard to convince them to go get themselves an education. And they can get their education right here for free. And they can get their higher education and extended education, you know, if they, for instance, the court that we have, the course that we have, court access in the common law, that cost a few dollars, but that's an education that's going to really help anybody in the courts to understand that. But we also have a higher education as far as some of the great works. We got a lot of that stuff out there too. What we have on our website, we have so much that it would take a lifetime to go through, really.
But the point, but for people to do it, to access it, like anything else, they have to see a need. And also another part of, like, yeah, he has divine power, but I believe that part of what's been happening is that but a lot more people are focused, and let's call it a frequency, in their prayers and their urgency and their desires for that's why he got the popular vote.
Yeah, and but so remember, prayer has to be met with action too, you know? Well, I don't want to say too much about that.
Well, anyway, people don't, you know, so people are waking up, and that's good because they're finally getting hit with it. But as far as the judicial part, they're going to have to get hit with that too, to some extent. People are not going to see. It's not just that they're lazy. They just don't see a point. If everything's fine, they don't see a point.
That's the big problem right there. They think that one man can give them their liberty back and we can kick back and exercise our liberty. But you're only going to be able to exercise a certain amount of your liberty. You're not going to get it all because you have to take it back. We have to work for that and we have to participate. And other than that, if we continue under that kind of thinking, unfortunately we are, people are getting lazy. They're lazy anyway because they've been trained to be lazy. They don't want to get that extra education. They've already done school. They're not bothered, whatever the case may be. But the bottom line, though, is we're going to lose again. It's only a matter of time. But then there's the other side of the coin. The Lord's coming soon, in my opinion.
That's the thing. You know, whatever's going to happen now is for the final days, is for the final harvest, is for the final apocalyptic flash, ultimately. And then it's the end.
Yeah, a lot of that is not what people think. People think what that is. It's not that at all. It's something else. But I don't want to talk about that here.
We're not going to go back to lazy.
Yeah, but we can discuss those issues at our Bible, studies if people wanted to.
I'm not just talking about, you know, his return. I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking about people getting interested in the law, and I think they will, the more and more government encroaches And there will be the...
But the problem is that false sense of security, because he's cutting away a lot of that stuff. So, and then people are thinking, well, then I have to do nothing. You know, let the other guy do it. That's what everybody's thinking. I try to tell people all the time, you think that enough people are giving, or you think enough people are doing, okay? That's not true. I see what's going on from a different perspective, and so does the leadership of this organization here. We see what's really going on. You know, you have to do it. Don't let the other guy, because the other guy isn't doing it either. Okay?
You know what?
Keeps this thing going. It's just a small group of people. You know, we have, 11,600 members, okay? But it's only a very small group of people that are really involved in doing anything or supporting anything. And shame on us for that.
Yeah, because they don't see a need, a personal need.
That's important.
And the motivation has to start being not, what am I getting for it? But opposed to, like, what do I want it to be? How can I help it be this vision of this greater thing?
Yeah, well, again, people need to be not only woken up, they have to be shocked somehow. Well, maybe what's going to be revealed will shock them to a degree also.
That is what I'm saying. See, that's how this is all related.
I just want to let you know, we're over time, so try to wind down. So... we do have.
So that covers it. I was listening. I got in about half hour late, so I'm not sure what was covered there. But where I started out hearing.
Well, we covered the best stuff there. And unfortunately, you should go back and listen to the audio because we covered the gospel. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I got in on the Yellowstone something something, and that was fascinating. I'd like a copy of that if possible.
I'll post it up on the website once I get a copy of it. It's already dropped in my box here, so let me think about this. I'll think about where we'll post it. Maybe we'll post it on the front page.
Yeah, that'd be helpful, just because it was a topic of discussion. So you can like view that from time to time, and like whatever was the topic of discussion, make that the front page thing. But anyway, I want to let you all go, and it was just a very interesting, and I'll have to re-listen to the beginning. And
well, again, you know, the gospel, that's the most important news, in my opinion. But
always, yeah.
We read the Gospel of John, I think it was 12, if I remember. Okay, we'll take a last caller, and we'll talk again soon. I'm meeting with a couple of people this week, so...
It's Thursday?
It's just two people. That's what they wanted, just to discuss some ideas, and then we'll try to get with the larger group, the law group, I guess.
Okay,
let me take our last caller. We only got a couple of minutes because we're way overboard. Okay, thanks, Francini.
Sure.
Brett, you got the mic. Sorry, we only got a couple of minutes. So.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I'm sorry?
We can hear you.
Okay. So a question is, how would I respond to a complaint in a small claims court?
In a small claims court, the facts do pretty much rule the court, unless you're up against the status quo, and I suspect you're not. You know, you could probably get something done there. It's almost an arbitrational thing. And it's not ruled, it's not governed by any particular set of statutes and things of that nature. It really is about the facts. So you just have to be able to articulate the facts. And what I would do, if you're going to go to small claims, you're the defendant, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You definitely want to respond to it in an affidavit. And, you know, I know we have affidavit forms up on our website. An affidavit is really, it's a very small structure. You know, the opening paragraph, a couple of sentences, and then the swearing in on the bottom. Everything else in between really is just the facts without getting into stories, without getting into, you know, you can get use inferences. But you really want to focus in on the facts, lay it out, and rebut everything that was... charged against you. So whatever paper that was charged, it should have given some details, and you want to take those details and try to put it in bullet point form, and then address and try to keep it in the logic, you know, the line of logic that was laid out, you know, so it's kind of in order, if possible. Sometimes that's not possible, but if you could do it that way, just get your bullet points on what they're charging against you, and then take each bullet point and bring your facts to disprove each one of those points right down the line, and you don't get involved, you know, in long stories or anything. Stick focused and on the facts, and then you know, and it should be done in an affidavit form, and you can get that under Education Starts Here. Come to law, and then come down under law. You'll come down to court forms and process. Now, on that page, you should find an affidavit in here somewhere. Let's see. There's an affidavit of default.
Habeas corpus section, possibly?
Yeah, let's see if it's something on habeas corpus. Did I pass by that? No, I didn't.
Further down.
Forms, notice, downloads, been.
The thing is right there, right?
Why did I miss this? Notice and demand, move court for enforcement, file a habeas corpus right here. Okay, so if you click on affidavit, okay, and you download that, okay, basically, you know, it's not much to the form itself. It's pretty much, this is the basic, you know, opening statement. Okay, you want to pretty much copy it that way. And then this stuff on the bottom here, as you close off to get your, you know, sworn before a notary. And all this red stuff is just giving you in some instructions on writing, you know, before begin writing here, you know, so on and so forth, carefully reading all the following points and so on, and then delete all that, of course. But that's all an affidavit is. It's really an opening statement that you're, you know, this is your affidavit, and you're of a lawful age, and so on, and then the notary on the bottom.
Okay, and then, so...
In here, you do each... Look at it. If whatever charges were, you read through it very carefully, okay, their charges. And then you do bullet points on those charges. You know, this just put it down on a list, okay? And then take that list now from the top down and write, you know, each one of those points, you're going to rebut each point. And if you have evidence, you refer to that evidence attached, and you call it, you know, A, B, C, D, or you can call it 1, 2, 3, whatever you want to call it, your evidence.
Okay, what if something was like hearsay? There's a statement in there, and it's like, okay, well, how would you come up with that?
If it's a hearsay statement, if you can rebut it, that's one thing. But even if you can't rebut it, then at least you can make the point on that paper that it is hearsay.
Okay. And as far as, should there be a wherefore clause attached to that?
Well, you're being sued, so, you know, you could do a countersuit, okay? That gets a little more involved, and don't have the time to discuss that right now at this point. And but you can do, we do address some of that during a, you know, let me think about this. You know, I think we cover that in the course, so...
Yeah, I couldn't find remember which section that was where you were teaching about point for point and rebutting.
Okay, in the course?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you go to, let's see, if you go to Education Starts Here and you come down to the course, the Court Access Common Law course, you should see these two. People don't see these are the two access into the course. Okay, one is the videos, so that's here. Let me just open that so people can see that. Okay, so this course is run video to video from top to bottom. Okay, so in order to find the place in these videos of what you're talking about, in order to find information on that, okay, let's get back down to Court Access. You go here to the table of contents, and if you carefully go through the table of contents, you should be able to find what you're looking for, and then you'll be able to focus in on the particular video, because you'll see the chapters here, okay? So you'll find out what chapter it is in there, and you'll be able to locate it that way.
Okay, is there a way that I could put it in a search bar and it will pop up by any chance, or would I?
You could put keywords here. What are you looking for again? Control find. What is it?
Where you were teaching how to rebut point for point, or you're creating your own paperwork that someone else would have to rebut point for point.
Yeah, but you were talking about doing filing another, becoming also the a plaintiff also.
Right.
So, again, you just find the keyword you're looking for and keep throwing them in until you find it. You should find something in here. I'm pretty sure we did cover that. I don't think we spent a lot of time on it, but basically, you know, I'm sure we covered it in the course.
Okay, so I'll just need that one sheet to the affidavit to respond?
Well, yeah, you want to get that into the court before you even get into the court.
Okay, should that be sent to the plaintiff's attorney or?
You send it to both, yes, the plaintiff's attorney and you send it a copy into the court, and so it should precede you. And then when you go in, you're going to work off of that affidavit. Now, that the lawyer may rebut that. And then you're going to have to, and they rebut it, you got to be prepared to deal with that too, okay? But, you know, small claims courts usually isn't done by paper, but doesn't say that you can't do it by paper.
Okay, it just said that there was two instructions or two boxes to check off, and they only checked one. One was you must appear, and the other one is you must file a written answer. So they just checked.
Oh, they did say for you to put a written answer?
To file a written answer and provide a copy.
Well, there you go. You want to do it in affidavit form. We got to end, though, because we are really over time. But in any event, you want to do it in written form. You're right. But if you want to do it in affidavit form, okay, you're swearing to it. Remember, if the other side didn't swear to it, okay, it's hearsay. You know, it doesn't have any power. You have a person coming in, you know, being represented by a lawyer, and the lawyer may do an affidavit on behalf of the individual, but that's definitely hearsay. That's not straight from the, you know, from the individual's mouth themselves. They could say on their behalf, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, and remember, they have to rebut everything. Anything they don't rebut becomes, you know, the fact on your side. So, but with that, we got to close down. I don't know when you're going. Maybe we could talk more next week. So,
it's the 3rd.
Okay, so you do have some time, I think. Let's see. The 3rd is next Monday. So, you know, that is one of the problems. People run into problems and they come to look for help, and unfortunately, they don't have enough time to absorb a lot of the information. But yours is a simple case, you know. Rebut the facts. Make it simple.
Okay.
But with that, we got to go. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we've come to the end of our program, and we'll be back next Monday. Hopefully we'll see everybody back then. Good night, all.